Well, welcome to My Life in Football, and I'm really glad to say that with me today, hot from his car as well, he's the living legend, Mr. Glenn Poole. So welcome, Glenn. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, mate. How are you?
Not too bad at all, mate. And it's great to see you. It's been a long time since we've caught up, but everything going okay for you, business-wise as well?
Yeah, business is going really well. Yeah, hence why I'm in the car. Just trying to squeeze you in. It's going really well. Keeping myself occupied and really, really enjoying it, to be honest with you. Great stuff.
I mean, I suppose, you know, trying to get in there before you, because then you've got another appointment to get to. But, I mean, starting from your career and of course, I mean, is it sort of this time of the year that you get, you sort of think back to your Greys days when we're getting into the semi-finals of the FA Trophy?
Yeah, I mean, I actually saw a photo the other day of us celebrating in the semi-final, and it seemed like such a long time ago. And obviously, every time the trophy draws and, you know, get from the quarterfinals towards the final, you do take more of an interest in it. And that was an unbelievable run that we had. You know, we played conference team in every single round. And, you know, it still ranks as one of the best moments of my career and most enjoyable as well.
So, I mean, with your career, if we go back right back to the beginning, I mean, when did you start off with your in your footballing career?
Well, I started off just playing locally for a team called Pegasus, and then when I was 11, I got spotted by Tottenham, and then was there until I was 18. Did my apprenticeship there, obviously the old school YTS scheme, and the year after I started, the first year of the actual academy that, you know, obviously is now firmly in place, and then obviously progressed to Yeovil from there and embarked on, you know, like the first step in the pro game, and then obviously went back into non-league and was a semi-pro, and then obviously back to the pro game and then back to semi-pro again. So it's been all over the place, up and down.
I'm just got it in front of me. I mean, Yeovil Town, it says 19 appearances for Yeovil and a one game loan spell for Bath City, and then on to Forge United. I mean, yeah. Who was that under? Was that under Terry?
What?
Forge United.
No, I actually originally signed on loan for Dennis Elliott. I don't know if you
remember that name.
Dennis. And he was there for a little while. Then he left. And then Glenn Thomas took over for a little while. And then obviously our mate Craig came in. And obviously, we all know what Craig Edwards is like. And he was fantastic for me, Craig. And I owe him so much because I was close to just sort of jacking it all in. And when he came in, he actually dropped me for the first game. And I was like, oh, that's it, enough for me. And remember playing in an FA Cup game against Leatherhead. And I come on, and to be honest with you, I thought I'd done all right. Didn't think I played too well. He thought I was the best player on the pitch. And then, you know, that was that. And I started every game for him after that in about 3 years.
So, I mean, looking at the stats that I've got in front of me, 80 appearances, 33 goals. I mean, that's not a bad strike rate.
It was actually better than that, because that was just games that were recorded. Some of the cup games that we played never got recorded, and I actually scored quite a lot of goals there. It was it was about near 70 goals.
Wow.
So in 150 odd games, I think it was. So for me, yeah, that was the time when I first started finding my feet, my confidence, and becoming a mature footballer, because you're playing with men that, you know, at the end of the day on a Saturday or a Tuesday night, 3 points actually meant something. I had to learn very quickly.
But I mean, was that exciting time, so at Ford, especially under someone like Craig?
Yeah, it was, because, I mean, like I said, I was just enjoying playing. I was at Yeovil for 2.5 years and didn't really play as much as I would have liked. So I started off scoring on my debut, and there were a lot of clubs watching me at the time, and I was only 18 and, you know, just come down from the big smoke, you know, and I think I let it get to me a little bit, and I got sort of sidetracked and didn't really focus on what I should have been, didn't really listen a lot, and then went and just played games. And Gary Johnson actually said to me, he was the one who released me, he said, just go and play games and you'll find yourself. And I did, and it was exciting because I was just playing week in, week out. I knew I was going to play, and I obviously then played for Craig, and Craig instilled a work ethic in me that I never had before. And he just, you know, he made everyone, not just me, at the club at the time, enjoy themselves. You know, there wasn't that much money there. There wasn't any crowds, but we just had a good camaraderie in the dressing room. And I still, you know, I still speak to a lot of the boys now, which is, you know, 15 years later.
Yeah.
And that's the sort of, you know, atmosphere that Craig instilled. And I enjoyed going and playing there. So.
And then from there, so, I mean, what made you move on then to Thurrock for the first time?
A number of things, really. It was the budget got cut. And at the time, I was the only one on the contract. But they, you know, there was a bit of upheaval about whether my money was going to get cut or not. Players were leaving. And I just wanted to really sort of, you know, push and push myself and try and get high up the ladder as possible. And Thurrock made a bid for me. It got accepted. And that was that, you know. And you know, I went there. It was the same division, but Thurrock were you know, pushing for promotion. I think at the time we still could have had a chance of winning the league. And you think of how Thurrock is exactly the same sort of thing, you know, no crowd and you know, relatively new club at the time. And they was doing really well. And I just, you know, I grabbed that opportunity.
Mm. I mean, was that, I mean, from there, of course, on to Grays. And was that the, that's the first time, of course, for you being at Grays. But I mean, was that the best time in your football career, that time there?
Enjoyable, and it was the most satisfying for me, because I was entering a team that was really, really good. We all know, you know, the players that they had there, and I could have gone actually the year before, just before I signed for Thurrock, but for one reason or another, that never materialised. And I remember Mitchell Cole, God bless him, he was sold to Southend, and there was a slot for me, and I went and, you know, went in there, and I was the only part-time player from the previous season. So I've gone into a full-time, you know, atmosphere, a settled squad, and I ended up finishing top goal scorer that season, and, you know, obviously winning the trophy. And that was when I felt that people started noticing what I could do, and then that gave me a lot of confidence that people were sort of seeing the qualities that I had. I knew I had them, but, you know, your own worst critic, and, you know, for me to show it on a national stage, That was the kickstart I needed. And like I said, it was really enjoyable. The staff were really good there, and the players as well. And like I said, I still talk to some of them, not as much as you know what we used to, but you know, it will always be a time that we all sort of have fond memories from, and we'll always go, oh, do you remember this, remember that? And you know, again, most of the boys have gone on and had great careers as well, which is even more satisfying.
Only gripe with that would be that, would you say that he wasn't at Wembley?
Obviously, that's one thing I didn't do, was play at Wembley, but I would also argue that, you know, Wembley's the worst place to lose.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would rather have played at Upton Park and won than played at Wembley and lost.
Mm.
You know, so, you know, at the end of the day, that's the way I look at it. That's life, isn't it? You know,
yeah,
I've got my winner's medal sitting, you know, at my mum and dad's, and that's all you can say. You know, that it just says winners, it don't say where you play.
No, so, absolutely, yeah. So, from there, you moved on, you went to Rochdale on loan.
Yeah.
That must have been a bit of an eye-opener, from Grays to Rochdale.
Yeah. Yeah, it was unbelievable. I just remember my mum and dad were on holiday, or they was leaving that day, and I'd dropped off one of the players at my agent's office in Romford after training, and I literally got home from Romford, which was a 10-minute journey, and by that time, I'd had a phone call saying, Rochdale want you on loan, and I was like, all right, okay. Where's Rochdale for start, and ended up going and then turning round halfway, because I'll be honest, I had a little bit of a meltdown and didn't want to go. I worked it out that I trained half the week at Grays and half the week at Rochdale, and you know, I grabbed it with both hands, because I thought, if this is the only chance I'm going to play league football or have a chance to play league football, then I'm going to do it, because I was 26 at the time. And obviously the dream for any young lad is to play football league football, and you know, thankfully, I mean, I just remember playing against Swindon on a Tuesday night, came on for about 25 minutes, half hour, did quite well, drew 0-0, sat in the hotel room after on my own, and was like, oh, I've just played a football league game. And if you'd have said to me then, you know, you're going to play non-league for the rest of your life, I would have been quite happy with that, really, because it was a late goal of mine that I achieved, and I wasn't sure it was going to happen. So I'm grateful for Rochdale, actually, and Keith Hill, who ironically left this week, that, you know, they gave me the opportunity to, to fulfil a dream.
And then, of course, on from there to the one that everybody sort of talks about, or the pictures that I saw when I first got to know you, was at Brentford.
Yeah. I mean, Rochdale did want to sign me. They gave me an offer. It was only a one-year deal, and Brentford, I went and spoke to Brentford. I'd spoke to Dagenham and Barnett as well, amongst others as well. But they were the main three that I was going to choose from. And Brentford just wowed me, really. Obviously, I'm sitting there and Terry Butcher's sitting opposite me. But it was Andy Scott, the assistant, who came and watched me play for Grays in the trophy semi the following year after we won it at Stevenage. And he said, even though you lost, you were the best player on the pitch. And he was the one that got me there. And, you know, looking at the club, and I looked around the training ground and told me the plans that they had is literally the plans that, you know, they're fulfilled now. And it was amazing. And like I said, they offered me a two-year deal and it was a good package. So I accepted it, and, you know, it was a great time.
Good memories as well from being in there. Well, I mean, what division were Brentford in at the time?
They was in League Two. They just literally got relegated from League One, and it was very, very strange setup. We got there and got given our kit with our squad number on, and in a plastic bag like from the club shop, and walked into the change room. One half of the change room was the players that were there from last season. And on the other half, it was players that were there from, you know, the summer acquisitions. It was so surreal. I've never experienced anything like that before. And it wasn't a great atmosphere, to be honest with you, at the start. But it did get better. It did get better. I mean, but like I say, out of the 2 years I had there, 18 months of it was unbelievable. And 6 months of it, not so good, personally.
But, I mean, was it, again, playing league football? I mean, it must have been probably a sustained period of time for you to play in league football. It must have been, yep, you know, fantastic for you.
Yeah, it was. And it was something that, you know, I was just living a dream, even at, you know, 26, 27. I mean, everyone wants to play in the football league. Everyone wants to play for England and the Premier League clubs. But, you know, for whatever reason, it never materialised for me. And I was just thinking, I'm playing football every day. I'm getting paid well for it, and I've been working in a hospital, I've worked in a football shop, and I'd always think, I just want to go and play football every day. And I was just living the dream. And anyone that played, you know, in the same squad as me at Brentford will tell you, I was just like a joker, because I just was enjoying myself so much. And luckily for me, for the majority of the time I was playing well, I was scoring and just enjoying it. I was like a kid in a candy shop, you know. And I'd had a good deal offered to me from Stevenage, who Mark Stimpson was at the time, and he was assembling a very, very good squad, very much similar to the Grays squad that we had. A few of the players were going there from Grays. But I was, you know, at the end of the day, I want to play in the Football League, and they were in the Conference at the time. And it was great memories, and I felt like, again, I'd sort of arrived and was getting a lot of scope, a lot of media attention, and again, a few teams were sniffing around. I had a chance to go to a club that was in the league above, and that never materialised either. But, you know, that's football, isn't it? You know, everything that, you know, happens for a reason or doesn't happen. So,
I mean, from there, well, back to Grays for a short period of time. I mean, was that like, you know, going back home, or was it different from when you was there the previous time?
I'll be honest with you, it was different. It was a lot different. I personally, you know, and it's nothing against Grays, I didn't really want to go back when I got offered originally. I was training at Dagenham, and I'd got offered a deal there, a two-year deal by Dagenham. And it's, you know, obviously he's right near my home, and I was well up for signing. I got offered a squad number, or got asked what squad number I wanted. I was in the team photo. I got a tracksuit or a training kit, everything. Literally agreed the deal. And I kept getting fobbed off by John Steele constantly. Oh no, we can't do it at the moment because of this. And, you know, in hindsight, I should have just said, stuff it and go somewhere else, because I turned down a couple of other moves. But a lot of people have got loads of good stuff to say about John Steele. And again, that's, you know, that's proven with the things he's done. But as a man, he he's not a nice man. He's not a nice man. He's done it to me twice. He's done it to a lot of other people as well. And I just thought he was messing with my career and my life. And, you know, I will never shake that man's hand because, you know, I'm full of ethics and morals. And he treated me like a bit of dirt on the bottom of his shoe, to be honest with you. And, you know, it was something that I would never do as a man and as a coach or manager or even a player. And, you know, it was just not nice at the time. But then, obviously, I sort of left there and, you know, Mickey Woodward phoned me up and said, look, you know, what's happening? And Craig, ironically, was manager pre-season. I went and played one game for them and then he left and then Mickey phoned me up and just said, you know, come round my house, have a chat. I went round and signed there and then because I thought, I want to stay full-time. I want to play because the season started and I hadn't, you know, played any games. And, yeah, I went back. And to be honest with you, I didn't do great. To be honest, I did okay, but I didn't do great. My head wasn't how it should be. It wasn't, you know, in the right place. I thought I should have been playing in the league, and you know, I let that sort of rule my head a little bit, and that affected my performances. Mm. So, but it was a different club, totally different yeah. club. When Stimmo left, it was kind of like playing a game of chase, you know, like catch up. Sorry, you know, to get back to where we were, and all the managers that tried. Ultimately, you know,
found. Mm. I mean, after that, you went to the Crazy Gang, down to FC Wimbledon for a short period of time, and then on to yeah. To Barnet in that sort of season as well. I mean, was that sort of like just I don't know, leaving Grays, going to FC Wimbledon? I mean, how did it sort of come into effect with sort of like sort of three or four clubs quite quickly? I mean,
I just remember like Grays at the time was. I mean, it was a bit of a mad place to be, and I remember the chairman Andy Swallow or whatever, you know, the chief exec, I can't remember what his title was at the time. He said, like, you know, do you want to leave? And I was like, yeah, I think I do, because I wasn't playing how I should have been. I wasn't enjoying it, and my agent at the time had said AFC Wimbledon, like, I knew Terry Brown liked me as a player for a good couple of years, and I just said, yeah, if it can be done, let's do it. They was doing really, really well. Really well. And I knew a couple of lads from Brentford that were there, and I knew Nathan Elder was going to sign for them as well on loan. And I've known Nathan since he was 16. I was like, yeah, let's do it. And I went there. And I won't say a bad word about the club. It was a great club. I really, really enjoyed it there. And we petered away a little bit. And then they went full-time the next season. And, you know, they just said, you know, we are going to release you. We're going to go down the younger sort of route. I was like, that's fine. I wouldn't have, at the time, you know, liked to have commuted all the way over there or moved back over there, you know, like when I lived there for Brentford. So it was a choice that they took, but I was quite happy with that and I respected that. And again, they got promoted the next season. And, you know, you can't argue with that. And I was really pleased that they got up. But it was a great club. And it was just a shame that I never played as much as what I would have liked. Again, I thought I did okay, scored quite a few goals, but Terry had a way of, you know, squad rotating, and I'm not the type of player that likes to be rotating. I need to play week in week. If I went to a game tomorrow for the first time, like played for nearly a year, I'd want to play. So simple as that. Yeah. That was my mentality. I thought, like, I'm not the type of player that can play Saturday and rest on the Tuesday, and know you're going to play. No, that weren't me. But yeah, it was a good club, and I've got nothing but good words to say about
AFC Wimbledon. And of course, you knew moved on to sort of a few clubs. That went, you know, to Barnet. According to you played 10 games for them, then to Braintree, 16 for them, Thurrock for the first time, sorry, second time, played 17 there. And he seemed to settle down a little bit. We went to Billericay for 4 years there, 151 games. I mean, what was that like down at Billericay?
I loved that place. Honestly, I haven't been back. Obviously, Glenn's taken over, and you know, I've driven past, and you can tell that the work that's gone in there is fantastic. But before that, it was just such a friendly club that I've met so many nice people. I've got, you know, I can count on one finger one person there that, you know, I don't like. You know, the people there were unbelievable. And again, Craig was manager, and he again made me love the game. You know, again, I was sort of going down a path where I was just doing it, you know, because it was all I knew, and it was, you know, I get more income as well. I was just starting my business as well. But I went there and I was on less money than I was on at Thurrock, and Craig said to me, you know, like, stick with me to the end of the season and see what we can do. And I never got a penny more while I was there in 4 years, you know, and that's not nothing. I'm not, you know, digging anyone out there. It's the fact that I just love playing football, and again, I'm playing for the club, and just totally, you know, taken in by the people there. Not just me, but my family as well. When my niece was born, my sister and her husband now took the baby over. They sat them in the, you know, indoors in the director's box, and, you know, little things like that go a long way, and it was just unbelievable. And I think consistently I played my best football, you know, over that 4 years there, and I've really, really enjoyed myself. And, and the people I've met again since then, you know, I'll call mates, and that saying there's no mates in football, I think is wrong, because, you know, we still talk on the WhatsApp groups every now and again now, and, you know, a couple of them have been to Australia or living in Australia, and, you know, we still stay in regular contact. But yeah, I love every single minute of being at that club.
And then from there on to Canvey Island?
Yeah, that was just, I mean, for me, I just needed a break and a new challenge at the time. I'd won all the Player of the Year awards. I knew that other players were thinking of leaving, and I was a bit, you know, I think I need a new challenge. And then Danny, I've known Danny since we was like 13, 14, and he just said, do you fancy it? And I was like, yeah, okay, just something different. But again, I went there, and don't get me wrong, it's a good bunch of lads, and again, it's a good club, but I just weren't enjoying it. I just wasn't enjoying it, and for me, it was just a case of, what's the point of doing it if you're not enjoying it, you know? And I just felt, you know, like we went top early on in the season, and then we just sort of like went down like that, and it was scary, to be honest. It was scary, and I just could see things in a different way than what was being portrayed, and I just thought, you know, no, I just need to go and go somewhere else. And it was nothing against Danny, nothing against the club. It was just all me, you know. I just wasn't happy at the time, and, you know, that's history.
I mean, then back to Billericay, I've got question mark on my sheet in front of me of how many games you scored and whatever. So was it a quick visit, was it, the second time?
I signed January, I think, and I stayed there till the end of that season. Again, Craig said to me, I want you back. And I spoke to him, you know, and I was like, yeah, let's do it. He said, you know, it'd be the same deal as what you was on. I said, fine, come back. And yeah, enjoyed it. We were pushing for the playoffs, I think, and you know, for the league, and you know, it was just, didn't, again, we petered out a little bit, and it was just enjoyable. But again, I played and was enjoying it again, yeah, it was just unfortunate, you know, again, that it sort of petered out a little bit.
And then back to your old mate at Thurrock.
Yeah, I mean, he tried for a good year to 18 months to try and get me over as player coach. And I'd always been like, I'm not dropping down to Ryman One North. And that was not, you know, me being arrogant. It was just my pride, I think, really. And I said, no, I don't want to drop down to that level. But I looked at my age, looked at where I wanted to go at that particular moment in my career. And I was like, it's the best move to make. You know, and we spoke at length, and I went over there and really enjoyed it. Like the year we got promoted, it was a really, really enjoyable year. Really enjoyable year, and I played a lot more than what was planned, to be honest. But again, consistently, that was one of the best seasons I've ever had. And you know, to get them over the line, because they've been through so much, you know, heartache in the playoffs, and you know, when they got relegated, that with that point deduction and things like that, they tried for so long. And to actually be a part of it that actually did it, and personally having two great games in the semi and the final, that's very satisfying for me. Really satisfying. And in hindsight, maybe should have finished then. But, you know, it was a case of going and having another try at the Ryman Prem. And unfortunately, the way I left the club wasn't how I'd want to have left the club. I didn't want to leave the club anyway. But, you know.
Yeah.
That's life.
I mean, I remember seeing you play down at Chessant when he was in the Ryman One, and I was right behind your free kick, and it was a quality free kick. Do you remember that? Straight into the corner?
I did, yeah. It was a quality free kick that went straight in off the Hurricane.
It was a bit windy, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it was, and I do remember that day, because it was the first day I went out with my now wife, and she said, "Oh, you only scored today because it was windy," and I laughed, and it actually was, but it was again another great club. Unfortunately, it's not around anymore, but I would have loved to have stayed all last year, and I just, I left. Not under a cloud, but I felt I should have got looked after a little bit more with the wage cut, because I was staff. Now, obviously I might not have been playing as much, but at the end of the day, I'm still staff, and I thought, staff look after staff. But, that's the way the cookie crumbles.
So no sort of calls yet then to get you to Hornchurch?
No. No. Listen, at the end of the day, I've got a lot of respect for Simo, and I hope he does a good job, but no, I wouldn't entertain that, I don't think.
So then from there, you on to Grays. I mean, according to this, 18 times, 2 goals. I mean, enjoy your time down there, or was that a bit too much for the, an excuse the expression, but a bit too much for the old legs on the old 3G on a constant basis?
No. I mean, don't get me wrong, it did hamper my legs a little bit, but I'd still be okay. It was just a bad time for me. I lost, both my nans within 3 months. That sort of just knocked me for 12, not 6. And, it was a tough time for me. And, football becomes irrelevant. And I said to Jamie, I'm not coming in. I when my granddad passed away, I didn't want any days off. But now I was just like, no, I need some time. And when it happened again 3 months later to my nan, and, I wasn't treated with that much, respect while I was there at times. And, I look around and I said to you, the respect in the game's gone. I'm not saying I'd want the red carpet out for me, but, at times you just think, come on. It's just, you're just there, and you're not someone that's given a lot to the club and to the people around the club. And, it was tough. It was a tough time, and at times I was going, and I didn't want to go. I didn't want to go training, or I didn't want to go to Norwich away on my birthday when I knew I was, out for dinner with my then girlfriend and now wife. And I was like, I'm not driving to Norwich to sit on the bench. There's no chance. I'm better than that, And again, people might say, well, that's very arrogant or very egotistic, but it's not. It's just I wasn't going to go and drive to Norwich to sit on the bench when I knew I should be playing. And I just wasn't enjoying it, and I just took the decision, about this time last year, to just come away from it, and focus on, my family and my business. And I've committed 21 years to it, and it has been so nice to just have a break, and just sort of on Saturdays go and coach the little 2 and 5 year olds in the morning, and then that's it. My weekend is my weekend, and do what you want with it rather than chasing all around. And I do miss playing, but I don't miss much about it, to be honest.
So is that the last we're going to see then, as Glenn Paul, the player in sort of in Isthmian leagues?
You can never say never. You can never say never. I mean, to be honest with you, I had more offers last summer than I did when I was playing. And I've still had tentative offers, here and there. My dad goes and watches football all the time still. I think he's missing it more than me, bless him. But he goes and, people say, what's Glenn doing? And you can never say never. You can never say never. Like I say, I'd be lying if I said I don't miss the plane, because I do. I went and had a run the other week for the first time in God knows how long. I still feel fit, still feel healthy. But you never know. At the moment, I'm just happy, focusing on me, my wife, my family, and just enjoying not playing and keeping a bit of a clear head for once.
So I mean, it's, as you said, got married recently as well. So I mean, family life and business going really well for you then?
Yeah, I love it. I can't stress enough how happy I am within my which has been the first time in a long while that I've been really happy. And again, you know, when, like say, when tragedies happen, like they did last year, you know, you realise that family is the most important thing in life, even more so. And, you know, I'm just happy. I'm happy, you know, happy with my work, happy with my life. And, you know, football has been a massive, massive part of my life. And if I didn't have that, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now. Simple as that. And, you know, the way I look at it is football and playing football is only for so long in your life. You know, working and earning a living is for the rest of your life. And thankfully, football has helped me out with that massively. And like I say, you can never say never. I'd always be open for a chat, you know. And that's one thing I do miss is having football chats sometimes. And but I haven't been to watch a game since I finished last year. And, you know, and Keith knows, you know, what I was like. I was at a game all the time. But now my life's changed and, you know, we move on. Mm.
Listen,
so, never say never, but at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Glenn, it's been fantastic. I know you've got to go, so because you've got your next job to get to. So we
yeah,
do wish you all the very, very best with that. And of course, as I said before, you're welcome back to the show whenever you want to come back. You're more than happy to come back whenever you've got your time.
Appreciate.
But it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you today, and hopefully we'll catch up again in the future.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks, mate.
Magic. Thanks, mate.
Cheers.
See you soon.
Bye. Bye.